Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
What is up this week? Here's what's happening Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne,
hello.
Steve, the producer, Johan,
yep.
Joining billions and billions, quadrillions and trillions of listeners on this, the 108th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Our first segment is, as usual, called Back to the Blacktop. And guess what? In a total break from character,
yes,
Steve has automotive news and information as usual. What do you got?
Okay, well, we're going to spend a little time on this because it is important. It's called, the newest stats are in for road fatalities.
Oh.
Good news, bad news. U.S. traffic fatalities fell 2.4% last year to a total of 36,560, and that was actually a 3.4 drop, lowest since 2014. So, hey, good deal. Huh. While pedestrian deaths...
Everybody should do their job.
That's right. While pedestrian deaths were at their highest point in nearly 30 years.
Wait, what?
This means airbags will be on the outside soon.
Yes. Well, they basically said that it jumped by 857 casualties this year from last year. And they said, here's some of the reasons. Automatic emergency braking systems designed to stop vehicles from striking pedestrians did not always work effectively and had a significant result of not stopping for pedestrians. So if you go to AAA, they have a video where they test these new cars with the sensor systems to notice that there's some pedestrian. And a number of them did not notice anything in front of them, and they just drove right over the pedestrian.
This seems counterproductive.
Yes. But this is what we're finding out.
Cars are getting back at people.
Oh, my gosh.
Are any of these cars named Christine?
Yeah, I was.
Because, I love technology. I like to see all these new, things that are being tried out and tested. Sooner or later, all of this will work. You know,
right.
Maybe not in our lifetime, but it will.
Right.
But it's so, people want it so bad. They want to be able to say, oh, I got the new tech.
Right.
But if the tech doesn't work reliably.
This is what they're, I'm going to hook that up and put it on our Facebook page here.
Yeah.
The other one, second, most deaths occurred at night, which is not a, that's an easy one to understand.
When else are you going to sleep at the car?
Well, I'm talking about pedestrians.
I know.
Most pedestrians are found playing Pokemon Go.
Some of them had booze and drugs in their system. So they kind of...
How dare they be pedestrians with booze and drugs?
That's right.
What's wrong with those people?
And it said, most were involved with citizens crossing in non-crosswalk zones.
So they're making themselves soft targets.
Well, I am on 99 every day of the week. And between a main thoroughfare of 196 and 168, I head down there 3 days a week to go to the gym.
He gets two or three.
And it inevitably... We might be stopped.
How many of those stanchions on the side of your car?
Yeah, I get three. Thanks a lot. I'm not David Carradine. Thank you.
That was a good movie. It was a good bad movie.
That was a drive-in movie.
I know it was.
It was.
Or a drive-over movie.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Some beers
Stop
and
it.
A drive-in
Wait.
Movie. Yes.
There's more. I got more jokes.
Anyhow, so inevitably, we might be stopping, but it's starting to move. And there's somebody that's walking across three lanes on one side. They get in the center, and then they zigzag their way through. While on the right-hand side, cars are just whooshing by because it's a...
This is universal, though. I mean,
is everywhere.
Clearly, we see it, here, but it's all over the country. There's always somebody who thinks they're smarter than the traffic, or they can get by on the speed that they can do it. And,
you
misjudge how fast you are as opposed
talking
to how 30, quick the car's coming,
30 feet away.
Yeah.
From a sidewalk with lights.
Yes.
And they're still doing this.
Yes, all week long.
And you see this up at your shop all the time. They're running from one side of the shop to the other.
About half my crew doesn't go get parts.
Yes, I know.
What's more important?
Parts.
The crosswalk?
You have a light just about 100 feet down the road.
Well, and you got a parts store right next to a McDonald's and a Taco Time.
That's
come on, there's reasons to go.
And then they got
the
Jitters coffee, so they're running from the other side over, and they're trying to hold on while they're not getting hit.
This is a six-lane highway we're talking about.
Yes,
here,
it is. And it's 45 miles an hour is the standard.
Yeah, which is the optimistic speed limit.
Yes,
really, it's about 50, 60.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. 45 is traffic. Right.
So, folks, please, keep your eyes open while there's a bunch of yahoos out there playing Dodge whack-a-mole with themselves.
Or us.
Or us. Yes, yeah, because I've been guilty of doing it, too. Not in those positions, but anyway. GM UAW still in the midst of negotiations with a lot of the workers angry at the most recent proposed offer by GM. So going to see they're going to vote. But apparently it says in some articles says, they gave a good, and other ones are saying, no, this is not a very good deal.
They always go back and forth.
Yes.
You know, what will they settle for is what it is. And so.
And
it's a process.
It's going. And then 2018 saw a drop, here's some good news, in stolen cars, with nearly 750,000 vehicles stolen in the United States in 2018. I mean, that's a lot of cars.
700,000?
750,000 vehicles were stolen.
Okay, now, so how many were stolen?
That's got to be rounded up numbers, too, I would think.
How many were stolen in 2018?
Get that next year.
How many were stolen in 2018?
No, they don't have that yet. This is 2018.
I bet we're more than that already.
Well, we'll see. They said it's a 3.1% drop. Now, how can it be 750,000 and not 750,365?
Well, it probably is. It's just a statistic.
Yeah. But guess which state in all 50 states, 48 states.
No, there's 50.
Ranked. I know. Anyway,
really,
so
there is.
so guys, which state ranked number one as the worst for stolen cars?
California.
Brady?
Illinois.
California is correct.
Only because there's more cars in California.
Yeah.
I think there's more crime in Illinois, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
I'm pretty sure there's more. Maybe not.
I think so. And then speaking of crime, Jeff and Paulette Karpoffs, that's their name, Karpoffs, are accused of running a Ponzi scheme with their company DC Solar, and to the tune of over $800 million.
Ooh.
Well, the FBI has seized their assets, which include 149 collector cars, some of which are highly prized.
I was wondering what the connection was
going to
be.
Gotcha. Highly prized, including, you know, Superbirds and even a Bandit car owned by Burt Reynolds.
Of course. Do they have a DeLorean? Because if they don't, you know, they should.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Since, but then they are all going up for auctions to pay off the debts.
I see.
So these guys were running a Ponzi scheme, kind of like Madoff, probably.
Madoff. Bernie.
Bernie. But they had good taste in cars, I'm telling
you. Well, when you have money, you can have good taste in cars, I guess. They have a Tucker? If they don't have a Tucker, I don't like it.
Oh, I don't know, but that's 149 cars. Jeez.
Well, Shane's got just about that many.
Yeah, he does.
So, I mean, come on.
He's got at least 10 that we know of.
That we can see.
You
know, he's got four at the shop.
I know, I know.
and
yes, he does. And he has one that he's never going to get because it's in the backyard that got built around, and now it's...
I want the day you get a cherry picker to pull that thing out, I want to be over there.
Oh, I'll be videotaping it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. Well, from the world of motorcycling comes this. Harley-Davidson has applied for a patent that will enable groups of riders to maintain a constant speed thanks to kinematics, that's what it's called, and radar-guided cruise control. This new type of adaptive cruise control is specifically aimed at Harley's current target demographic, which loves group rides. The system encodes a transceiver that can ping out to the bike's location to other vehicles on the road, as well as the group of riders, and basically, as well as an adaptive cruise control system, allows the group of bikes to track and monitor the location of each other in real time for safer and more controlled group riding experience.
So they're going to have a piece of technology that allows a group of riders to maintain a safe distance and the same speed. So basically, they've got a parade software.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why am I seeing an episode of South Park here? Stick with us. We got more of this silliness. Plus, we got a chat with Bruce Myers. And if you've ever heard of the Myers Manx, you know who we're going to talk with. All that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome to Cars Confidential. Is that what we're doing? No, we're not doing that. We're doing Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and this is Windshield View.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I was a little confused there. See, I'm all excited because here in the Volkswagen world, we're talking to one of my heroes. So today we have Mr. Bruce Myers with us, the inventor of the Myers Makes 2 Buggy.
That's
How
right.
How you doing, Bruce?
I'm here.
Yeah, you are. We were talking about this just before we got on the air, and Shane actually has one of your Manxes in his
1971.
Yeah, he's had it forever. Well,
26 years.
You lucky devil. Thank you very much for buying my product.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you buy it from me or did you buy it from someone else?
I bought it from a distributor that had it.
But a distributor?
He had it as their showroom model for...
Well, there was a time when I had a lot of dealers.
Yeah, he has a dealer up here in Washington, and it was the one they used for the store display. And he got to the point where he couldn't drive it anymore, so I worked for him for, about a decade. And he said, oh, you can have that one.
So, you mean he got so old that he couldn't climb in and out over the side?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. So
I've had a lot of men walk up to me and say, I loved your car, Bruce, but Selma couldn't get in and out anymore, so I had to sell it.
That was it.
Well, I'm very interested because, you know, when I was a kid, those things were very, very popular, still are, I'm sure. But, you know, we saw them and thought, oh, man, this would be great. Everybody I knew wanted to have one. And my question is, I actually have two questions. First off, how did you come up with the Manx name? I mean, I know your logo is the cat. Did you have a cat and just decided to go that way? And number two,
no.
What was the initial idea about the design? What made you build it, like with the high step order thing? Was it meant to be all of that?
I'll take you through my feelings.
All right.
I was a guy, I'd spent a lot of years in art schools. I'm an old art student. I got around to actually teaching figure drawing. That's naked ladies, you know.
Yep.
And we know.
A lot of
and we're fans.
Portraiture. Well, portraiture has to be very accurate.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't accurate, then it isn't a good likeness of the guy you're drawing. So but with figure drawing, that's all about gesture. It has to look like it's about to move or go somewhere or jump up and down or something. So I carried that into the dune buggy. Now, I was looking around me, and I saw these homemade dune buggies here and there. I didn't invent the dune buggy. I invented the fiberglass dune buggy.
There you go.
But in the process, I had probably a dozen of them around in my experience, and they were all little cars with big wheels, and that says fun right there.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The first message.
Sure.
And the wheels should peek out at each corner. If you look straight down at each corner, you'll see the tire sticking out. So that's part of the recipe. But they mean more than that to a lot of people. An older man looks back at his youth and he clings to it wantingly, and he does that by hanging on to his dune buggy. The dune buggy is a wonderful gadget to keep the boy from screwing up and falling into the drug scene. Dad saw the boy come out of the bedroom where he smelled the grass, and the boy is holding a dune buggy in a picture in a magazine. He says, "Look at the bitchin' dune buggy, Dad." Dad saw what he had to do. He went and bought a kit. He bought an old junk Volkswagen, and the boy and he then put themselves together for many, many months or even longer, and they bonded. Now, along the way, Mom picked out the colors. The little kids all won't go to the store in anything else. They don't want to ride in the Pontiac. They want to ride in the dune buggy.
Sure.
It's amazing how the child, the little kids, are so attracted. They automatically rush towards it. You know, there's an old story about a guy that was driving around the world in a Myers Mags. He was in South Africa.
Yeah.
He came into a village. The village was a lot of little grass huts. And a lot of little black kids came running out to touch the dune buggy, which was putting slowly through the village. And he collected about 50 kids. At the other end of the village is a checkpoint, and there's a military man standing there with a gun, and he sees these children laughing and happy in this car that looks like nothing like a war machine. And he opens the gate, lets everybody go through, and that was it. The car opened the gate by its looks.
That's a very cool story.
Little story.
Yeah.
It's a nice story because it says what the thing is. It's more emotional, really, than it is anything else.
You know,
especially
before
with children.
Bruce, before you get to the name, when you were talking, I can say that my father bought a kit. It wasn't yours. I think you even seen a picture because I sent it to your wife to show you. But
they were cheaper.
Yep. He just bought one because he probably saw it in the back of a Popular Mechanics or something and just said, I want to buy one. So he purchased that. He brought it home, and it was probably 68, I guess, maybe in that time zone. I was in fifth.
Okay.
It was in fifth grade. I'm 60 now, so I was in fifth grade. And I remember him bringing it home and working on it. And I went out there as a little kid, and I helped him put the fiberglassing on after he had the body put on the chopped VW frame. And
and
he was putting the wiring in there, and I was helping put the boy, you know, I was like, wow, this is resin and all this. And we did that, and I remember helping him out with it, and I was just like, it was so cool. It was a bonding experience for my father and I. And
you are telling an old story.
Yep.
Very, very old story. I'm so glad to hear that, because that was more than what I can't imagine how many people, men, have walked up to me to shake my hand to say how he and the boy bonded long ago. The boy is now about 60 years old, and there's the car, and the dad is long gone. He says, "That's the car. I'll never sell it."
Yeah,
it's a love affair.
Yeah.
My daughter is actually helping me restore mine now.
No, there you go.
Yeah, I've had her out there. She helped me make new pans for it, and she's helped build the motor. And
well, see, that's it.
Well, that's great. I guess I didn't know what I was doing, because all I did was reached out with something that would look like fun. I was probably close to Mickey Mouse and the Funnies. When I was a little boy, I loved crawling around on the Funnies on Sunday because they were four color.
Sure.
And Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all those guys, they were driving these funny little cars, little tiny cars with great big wheels, and there was hardly enough room for the people. But it's all right. It was just a vision that I never forgot. And I suppose my art school drawing, I wound up being a teacher eventually of figure drawing. And figure drawing is the most fun because it's all about gesture. Well, when you start making mechanical stuff and you start thinking of gesture, you wonder how to do that. Well, the thing is up in the rear and down in the front, and it's got kind of a nasty look about it in some ways. Other people are attracted to it. I'm not sure why. But whatever I did, I touched the hearts of an awful lot of people, and I don't mean just here. It was created in Newport Beach, Southern California. It crossed oceans. I have a picture of a Myers Banks in front of an Egyptian pyramid, and there's another Myers Banks in front of the Opera House in Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
That's just three continents from each other and two oceans away. But that's not where it ended. It's all over Africa, South America, all over Mexico, of course. I started off road racing, and that's another thing. I've got a book out about that. And just the last two or three days, the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles is doing a big deal with me, and they wanted Old Red, the original Myers Banks, which we've always had for years, and we just delivered it to them. And they're now looking for some way of putting on a show advertising the dune buggy and, you know, bragging about Bruce Myers, I hope.
Well,
it's all going to happen.
That's very cool. I have a question. I know that when you first did the body, first, one thing I want to say for sure is that they all look like they're moving. They all look like they're just about to do something. So that whole gesture thing you're talking about is absolutely true. We got some things we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, but we're just about ready to do that. So if you wouldn't mind, hang on. We got a whole bunch more questions to get to.
And we need to get to that name. So hang on.
We'll get back.
So.
All right. We will have stories. Stay right here. We got more about the Myers Manx and another story from the old Car Nut book. So don't go away. That and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older. In the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Well, we're back for the second half of the Windshield View, and before the break, we were talking with Bruce Myers, and I wanted to find out, Brady had asked earlier on, about the name, the Manx. Talk to us how that happened.
All right, that's easy. I was married to Shirley then. She was a beautiful girl. I think I still love her. And she worked at Road and Track magazine. They were just up the hill in Newport Beach, about a half a mile away. And they watched this happen. The guys on their crew, they had 33 people. And the men all came down and saw what I was doing. And so they became kind of interested in the whole thing. But one day Shirley said, well, Bruce is, she goes up into the office and she goes through the 33 people and says, Bruce is looking for a name for that thing he's building. So out of all these very literate people came four times the name Manx. What the hell's a Manx? It's a cat in the Isle of Man, and it's tailless, right, and its butt's up in the air a little bit. It's kind of scruffy looking. And so I came to the office. I was in there quite often. And they said, well, Bruce, we got the name for you. It looks like it's going to be Manx. Now, the engine of that place was Elaine Bond, a tall, stately woman with a lot of sensibilities. And she says, and Bruce, it should be called Myers Manx. I said, now, wait a minute, Elaine. I'm a little bit too shy for that. She said, no, it'll be good for you someday.
You
so
go.
That's the way the name came out. It came out of Road and Track magazine. I had nothing to do with it.
That's actually a great story, and I can see the you know, the
it looks
connection
like a
with
crouching cat.
Well, it always looked like it was about ready to pounce, and,
yeah,
and it makes perfect sense now that you tell the story. You know, the other question I was going to ask you about the look was, you know, of course everybody's familiar with the open cabin or the open cockpit one, but you made a couple of other. There was a convertible top that was an option, I think. Was there not a hard top option as well?
Yes, yeah, we've got a lot of that stuff.
I've made several
offshoots of it. There's the Manxter. The Manxter is a four-place. That's on an unshortened Volkswagen chassis.
Right.
It carries four people. It has a roof that lifts up on gas springs to climb in and out.
Oh, very nice.
It's really good looking. There's another one that we sell more of. That's the Manxter, and it's $2,400. And it turns out that people have junkers, old ones, used buggies of other names, and they come and buy our body because it's cheaper to put a body on and have a real Manx than it is to restore another one that's older.
Oh, I'm sure.
So,
yeah,
you know, you can spend $3,000 or $4,000 repainting and polishing and sanding and wet sanding and all, when all you do is take the body off and come and get one of our kits, which is quickie. And it's because when you're older, you probably have a windshield, you have headlights, taillights, all that other stuff. So this little kit is $2,400, and it's a real Myers Manx, and it's got a big emblem on the nose, and it's in any kind of amazing colors. They have, there's a book of metal flake colors that knock your eye out.
Oh yeah, well, they remind me just a bag full of Skittles. I mean, there's every color you can think of.
There's so many colors, it's too much. It makes a mess out of things. In fact, the whole thing is, You want one, but you're not sure what to do. Well, finally, you take the color chip and you go home, and your wife or mom and the kids all figure out what the hell the color is. That's the way that usually works out.
Well, it's interesting because your my dad had the metallic red, but the red one was featured in a Steve McQueen movie, was it not?
Well, of course, Steve McQueen. Well, that was a dealer of mine in Burbank. His name was Pete Kondos, and he was a guy that dealt with the movies a lot, and Steve McQueen knew him, and so he ordered one, a red one, and then Steve McQueen did a lot of messing around with it and changed the look of things and had a wraparound windshield and a Corvair motor and all that. It was used in a movie, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Yes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The original has just been found in Hawaii and restored, and it's over here right now in our country, and they're messing around trying to figure out what it's going to bring in dollars. I guess it'll be going to auctions or something.
Sure.
I made another copy of that, and I sold it about 6 or 8 months ago. Anyway, yeah, the Steve McQueen car was always a Thomas Crown car, they call it. It was quite popular, and of course, Steve McQueen was the guy that made it so popular. It wasn't Bruce Myers.
Well, but did that help out with sales when that thing came out?
Oh, sure. You see, I had a company that had 70 people. It made 25 kits a day.
Wow.
I had 240 or 50 dealers all across the United States and across the oceans. And then I was attacked by a guy that said I copied him. I don't know how you copy when you're making something out of fiberglass, and I was supposed to have copied his wooden one. Well, as it turns out, I lost my patent in the courtroom to a very, I'm going to say, a crappy lawyer.
Yep.
The way he, and I didn't have a jury trial. I had a judge trial. And this lawyer said, now, Your Honor, you'll see that our car has four wheels and a Volkswagen engine in the rear. Is that not similar? And the judge has to agree. And then he says, our car also has a sloping hood and a windshield. Is that not similar? And the judge agrees. And then that's for 3 days. It's got two headlights. It's got two seats. It's got a steering wheel. All that's the way I lost my patent.
That's
and
crazy.
I'm a dumb kid. I was 42 years old. I hadn't grown up yet. I sat there wondering, what the hell's going on? My own lawyer was a boy that had never been in a courtroom.
Ah, and well.
I lost to a stupid... I shouldn't have done it. I should have gone back and gotten a jury trial and put it back together.
Sure.
But I didn't. And so the door is shut, and that lawyer sent 70 people home from their jobs. And now the press said Myers has lost his patent, and here we go. The world turned to copiers. So there's over 250 or maybe 300 copiers.
Yeah.
But that's normal because it's cheaper. And most of them don't know what the hell business is all about. They're selling them sometimes for less of their costs. So, you know, it was just a natural something that was so beautifully accepted by the emotional people because it looks like fun. It says adventure. It says youth. It says everything that you want to be if you're not. And so you got to get one. And that's the way it went. So I wound up getting so pissed at the world of the way the copiers took over and ran off with the whole thing. Across the oceans, I was invited to France in 1994 at the 25th anniversary of the dune buggy on the shores of Europe.
Yeah.
And my host was Jackie Morel, a French publisher of car magazines. And they had Le Mans racetrack, 1,100 Volkswagens, 200 or 300 plastic dune buggies. And he says, I want you to lead a parade around Le Mans racetrack with my Myers Banks. He's got sitting there. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to use a bad word. I'm not leading those anywhere. You put me out of business. And so
that's funny.
He says, wait a minute, are you're still angry? How long has it been? 24 years. And you're angry? Do you know what you're doing? You know that there's a chemical in your body that will cause you to die sooner because anger makes it erupt and it hurts you? He says, you've got to stop doing this. You've got to find something positive about this. I said, what's positive about all those thieves? He says, the two smiling faces in every dune buggy, they don't give a damn. Half the people that screwed you are gone. The other half don't care. He said, but just think of the two happy people, the kids in the seats. And he turned my head. And he says, go home and start a club and open it to all your enemies. And I did. That's the Banks Club. And it's got over 6,000 members, and life changed. He says, go home and start a club, write a book, build a Manx of the 90s. I've done all that stuff, and the book is, we're working on it right now. There's a third book. So anyway, that was my turnaround story. It made me a happy
awesome.
Man again.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
it is.
And, tell me, Bruce, tell me about the toad. How did that come about?
I was a part of a thing called Saddleback Park. It's a motorcycle park.
Right, yeah, I know where that is. Yeah.
And I found myself playing with motorcycles a lot, going out in the deserts on the weekends with family, mom and dad, the kids. And I found that the men would get up before dawn and say, we're going over to that Purple Mountain. We'll be back before breakfast. And they would do this, and then everybody would have a family ride. Well, the young boys try to keep up with the men, and everybody else trails behind, and mom is in the very rear. She falls down a lot. And you go back and help mom and straighten her handlebars and wipe the blood off her elbow and pat her on the ass, and here we go again. I got to feeling sadly about that because I knew what they were doing. They were simply with their family because they want to be out in the country in the open air and all that. They didn't really much give it about riding motorcycles. But, so I designed, why don't we get something that's really simple? The toad was so simple, it's just a big hairpin of tubing.
Yeah.
And I have a dear friend that was Ted Mangles. He's an engineer, and I phoned him up. I said, I'm going to hook a front end of a Volkswagen and the rear trail of a Volkswagen. That's the torsion bars and the tranny and the engine. And he says, and you're going to run this one tube around like a big hairpin? I said, yes. He says, what is the weight of the front? 350 pounds on tires. How about the back? 780 pounds or something. And he says, what's the distance from the rear to the front? I told him, I'll be back to you in 10 minutes. And he phoned me up, and that was Ted's. He says, it has to be 2.5 inches OD, 120 wall, mild steel, and it shouldn't break. And that's the answer. And I built the Toad mainly for females. So it never had a hood, didn't have a body. It just had a little piece of fiberglass for two seats, kind of like a hammock in between this big piece of tubing, and a little roll bar perched on it. And it became so popular that everybody wanted one, and because they were so darling, and put seats on it, put fenders and hoods and windshields. And so I had to do all that crap. But that's how the Toad became the and there to today. 1,000 of them are out there without ever a complaint of failure of the frame.
They were a great little vehicle. I remember well, lusting after one of those when I first saw them. 71. It was about 71.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the other one I was really wanting one
in the late '60s that I created it.
Yeah, well, that's about. I would have been
thrown out of business about the almost 70.
Yeah, see, 71. I would have been 21. So I saw it and I thought, oh, I got to have one of these. The other one I was curious about was the SR2. That was kind of a.
The SR is a sports car. I wanted to have a full menu.
Yeah.
And the sports car was designed by Stuart Reed, a very fine designer.
Well, hence
he came to work for me as a boy. He was 19 or 20 years old, and he worked at my shop, and I created the way it was made, but he designed it, and that's an SR. It stands for Street Roadster, but it also stands for Stuart Reed.
Sure.
But the SR is quite a nice car, and we didn't make more than a few hundred of them, and today they're being collected and restored, and everybody's happy, and Stuart can't believe it. And I see Stuart all the time. He's
great.
In charge of the automotive segment of the Art Center School in Pasadena.
Oh, great! Okay,
which is the Art Center School is a design school for most companies. They've all come here. They're all in California.
Yes,
I mean every one of them. There's Honda. There's Mercedes Benz. There's Audi. They're all here because of the Dune Boogie. That showed them there's something happening in California. It's a cultural thing about fun, outdoors in the sun, the beach community, all that stuff. And the Manx is the claimed to be the car that started that whole movement. Today, there's 22 or 3 studios, I believe, in California from all the companies, the manufacturers of all cars of the world.
Wow. You know, you think about
big
the fact...
story, huh?
You think about the fact that you had a tragedy in the sense of your business fail, not because of you, but then you think of the fact that, as your friend over there in Europe said in 94, put a smile on it, turn around, and look at what you have. And now you look at you as an individual have transformed the auto industry and in the design of the auto industry for the past 10, 20, 30 years. And that's,
you're going to make me cry.
I mean, that is an amazing thing. And I always say, I've been writing a lot about what can you do to change the world. And a lot of times it starts with changing yourself and having a different perspective. And when you do, you look at what you did and you go, I had no idea this would end this way. And so, Bruce, I mean, what an amazing feat.
Well, you know, right now they're celebrating just what you were talking about at the Peterson in L.A. just last week. We took Old Red, that's the original Myers Manx, which is all restored and beautiful, and they wanted it for a whole year. And they wanted a picture of me, of course. And the car is now in the Library of Congress of only a handful of cars. And they are making a big deal out of the Myers Manx. And right now, Volkswagen Company has come to realize that I'm the guy that started all that, so they've been messing around with us. Winnie and I go up to New York, and then we went up to Monterey Car Week with all Volkswagen paying the bills. And they have a dune buggy they made that's electric.
Yes,
and
we...
they want to know what I think of it, and I don't think much of it.
Well, Bruce, I need to butt in here for a second. I hate to do this, but we are going to have to bring you... bring you back on. We are running out of our time. We got about 10 seconds.
I have a lot of stories.
Yes. Thanks so much for being on the show with us. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful time, and we will be in touch.
You're welcome.
Yes, thanks,
and I'm glad to tell you all this stuff because of that feeling that you have that I created so much. Thank you very much. That's a nice thing to say.
Pleasure to have you,
Bruce. I'm not rich.
Thank you, Bruce.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motorwork, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, there's more.
I know. And what a surprise, we have a hot rod story.
Yeah. From a different book, though.
A different book?
A different book.
Okay,
see,
book.
Well, I see, I have every hot rod story book that ever existed. And one of the ones, one of the ones that I've kind of been going through lately is Fenders, Fins, and Friends by Lance Lambert. And Lance, of course, is a friend of the show and has been our guest a couple of times.
I just finished reading this one.
Did you? Yeah. Well,
you did the Stinky Feet one last week.
Yeah.
I did, yes.
Yes.
Something about odor. This one is another really good one. It's kind of a short one, but it's a good one. It's called Dave.
Dave, yes.
And it's not the Cheech and Chong, Dave's not here. It's not that one.
Let me in.
No, man. I am Dave.
Hey, I'm in the trunk. I'm stuck in the trunk.
That's not part of the bit. So Dave.
Speaking of drive-in movies.
Dave was a nutty guy. Dave was also a tough guy. He was not mean, but he definitely never shied away from a physical confrontation. I mean, nobody challenged this guy. When you saw him coming, you avoided eye contact. You faded into the nearby landscaping. He was feared by everyone in the neighborhood, according to Lance. Despite this, I somehow managed to become good friends with Dave. I likely cultivated this friendship out of a will to survive. But I quickly realized that Dave was actually a good guy. He was a little nuts, but a good guy. He would do crazy things, like ride his bicycle into the side of a building just to get a laugh. Okay.
Yes.
He seemed to have no fear, but this lack of fear was usually motivated by a desire to make his friends laugh. Being his friend and laughing with him was much better than being his enemy and fearing him.
Mm-hmm.
That's extremely logical. Okay. Dave and I began to hang out together during our early teen years. We'd go to his house after school to watch American Bandstand and the Stan Morrison Show. Now, everybody knows American Bandstand.
Oh, yeah, slow-mo.
The Stan Morrison Show was a local kids show around the Seattle area. It is revered, and if you're anywhere around the Pacific Northwest, you know this. If you're not, it means
it was
absolutely
Elmo.
Nothing.
Elmo, wasn't it? The dog?
No, Nomo.
Nomo, thank
no
you.
No motion. Yeah,
that's right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
yep, that's right. It's all good. Anyway, then off we'd go on our bikes to cruise the neighborhood and local parks. On weekends, we'd work on model cars together. Our successfully built models were displayed in our bedrooms, and our less than successful models occasionally met their demise via firecracker or a can of lighter fluid.
Yes.
Which is what you did with those things.
Yes, you did.
Can't imagine how many really nice Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars we absolutely destroyed. You know,
yes.
Collectors, you know, are just twitching because we burned those things to death. On more than one occasion, Dave painted an entire model, tires, chrome, and all, with the closest paint within reach. Flat black or fluorescent colors were his favorites. Then he would take it out in the backyard and sacrifice it to any god of fire that might be in the area.
Mm-hmm.
He looked a bit frightening when he was squirting lighter fluid on the model while laughing. Yes, Dave was a little nutty. I just get this picture.
Exactly.
A few. Why is it I'm hearing Beavis and Butthead? Fire. Fire, fire, fire. A few years of friendship went by, sorry. And then the biggest. Shane does that really well. Then the biggest thing in our lives happened. We turned 16.
Ooh.
And we got our driver's licenses.
And the fires got bigger.
Yes. They had real
God,
cars I knew were
some
involved.
People that were involved in that kind of stuff.
Into the closet went our models, replaced by cars in our driveways. Mine was a canary yellow 1948 Chevy Fleetline Aero two-door sedan. Dave's car was a pumpkin-colored 1956 Renault Dauphine four-door awesome. Sedan. Ladies and gentlemen, the 1956 Renault Dauphine. How did Dave expect to maintain his hard-won image as a tough guy while driving a four-door pumpkin-colored Renault? Did he ever expect to receive the respect of his peers while driving a French cartoon car? How could he do this to himself? He told me, I'm tired of being a tough guy, and I don't care what anybody thinks about my car. I think the low purchase price was also a factor
yes.
in his decision.
Yes.
He started putting his fighting energy into auto antics with the Renault. He would make the car go up incredibly steep wooded slopes while, at the same time, running down various types of vegetation that were nearly as large as the car. He once, just for the fun of doing it, rolled the car over on its top. He would lend it to any friend, even if he knew the guy was going to beat the pudding out of it.
Wow.
He once filled it with beer cans and bottles after a party just because he wanted to see his friends' reactions when they saw the mess in his car.
Alrighty.
How did his... What kind of... We won't even
no,
go down
no,
that
there's,
road.
There's more to this story that I think is not in print.
Yes, I think so too.
Once, we were at a party when Dave decided to try to make a new friend of a young lady he didn't know. He offered to take her for a ride in his car, and she replied... Bite me. He quickly got behind her, dropped to his knees, and did exactly what she had suggested. He bit her butt. These days, that action would result in Dave being thrown in jail. Back then, it resulted in Dave becoming a legend amongst the guys in his hometown.
Oh, yeah.
The legend's still there.
We grew up in different times. My next car after the Chevy was a 1954 Olds 88. Dave and I decided to go skiing. We strapped our borrowed skis onto the roof of the Olds. It was Dave's first time on skis, but this did not deter him from thinking that the sport of skiing would come easily to him. He decided the best way to learn to ski was to go to Crystal Mountain Resort, which is a challenging slope near Mount Rainier in Washington State, and attempt to... By the way, they practice for the Olympics on Crystal Mountain.
Yes.
Just so you know, it's not a weak hill. He would go there, and he would attempt to ski down its highest and most difficult run. On his first trip.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story about when I learned how to snowboard.
Oh, yeah.
I did that when I was 50.
Oh.
And I asked the guy at the snowboard school, so am I going to die here? Because this, I don't really don't want to break anything. He said, no, you'll be fine. And he promptly takes me up to the hill of death.
Right.
So I have some sympathy for this particular. Anyway, I strongly advised him against this method of learning to ski. He protested and climbed on the chairlift. This was also his first time getting on and off a chairlift. He went up, but I chose not to because I was a lousy skier and I would never make it down the slope in one piece. Dave arrived at the top. surveyed the ski run ahead of him, and resolutely headed down the slope. Within seconds, Dave tumbled out of control and broke his leg. He completed the rest of the run strapped to a board while assisted by two members of the ski patrol who were struggling not to laugh. The first aid station put a splint on his leg and helped me stuff him into the Oldsmobile. Off to the hospital we drove while Dave made jokes about the entire event. During an art class in high school, my girlfriend was being harassed by a fellow classmate. I hesitated in stopping this action, so Dave took it upon himself to respond to the situation. He followed the guy into the art class supply closet and administered a brief but effective attitude adjustment. Problem solved. Unfortunately, my members of Dave are all from the distant past. Several years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I stopped by the Vietnam War Memorial to get a rubbing of Dave's name. I always smile on the rare occasions that I spot a Renault Dauphine.
Wow.
Dave. You know, I think so many people...
I think we got all friends. We all have friends like that.
Yeah. You know, there's that guy. That guy.
Yes.
I have one. And he is actually gone now, too, although he didn't lose his life in Vietnam. But
right.
Yeah. It's funny how in certain lives, I was that guy.
Yes. God, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this one is in Fenders, Fins, and Friends, and again, it's Lance Lambert, Confessions of a Car Guy. And if there is a car guy on the universe, as we know it, Lance is certainly, you know, up there in that list. He's got several books, and, you know, it's nice to take a break. Not that there's anything wrong with the old Car Nut book series. David Dickinson's been real nice about letting us read stories out of that one. But, you know, Lance deserves a little love now and then, too.
Yes,
so
he does. And he's got some great stories.
There's great stories.
We don't have to invent them ourselves.
Well, no, and we don't. These are all invented by Lance and David.
We
don't have to make these things up. They can do that stuff.
We could put plenty of color commentary because we've all been in these situations. And
you know, that is the beauty of these books. It's a story that, you know, you can hear it and you go, oh, I got one. Like it's about toppers.
Yes,
it's about toppers. You think that's something? Wait a minute. Hold my beer. You know, it's all that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Well, I was thinking with the pyromania, I had a couple friends of mine that got in trouble with the law for setting fields on fire. Mm. And one of our big things was in middle schools, somebody had kipe one of those chairs that are nylon, you know, plastic chairs with metal legs.
Oh, right.
He would start a little fire, and you put that over it, and it's like drip, 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 and oh my gosh, it would go forever.
Yeah.
So
you remember there was a deal for a while where you would tie knots in a plastic bag and set it on fire, and it would make noise as the molten plastic zipped down. Yeah, very odd. Hey, the weekly trivia question's next. Take a peek at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We promise we will be back, and that's a threat. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. In an 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Hey, we're back. It's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about the upcoming events, weekly trivia question, and all kinds of other cool stuff. You know, it was really cool to talk with Bruce Myers.
Oh,
the guy's,
man.
You know, absolutely sharp as a tack. And it made me think, probably at some point during my childhood when we were destroying model cars, I'm pretty sure we destroyed a Myers Max model.
at least a
Matchbox or some other, you know, yeah. I'm sure we blew one up at some point or another. But you know what? There used to be.
Well, Scooby-Doo had a dune buggy in it.
Well, Elvis Presley had one.
Yep.
There was Presley. But so there used to be an outfit in Florence, Oregon, out in the dunes, that rented dune buggies, and you could go out and just flog them to death.
Yep.
Out in the dunes, and they were all Myers.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And I thought, how cool is that? That's the first place I ever saw a toad.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look, we should put a picture of one up on the website. In fact, I'll do that.
Yep.
Because it's different from the Myers. I think pretty much everybody knows what a Myers Max looks like. But the toad wasn't as prevalent, you know. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, and the other big thing were the sand rails. That was like...
Yeah, but he didn't have anything to do with those.
No. But I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I would it was third to fifth grade. I was in our secondary elementary school, and that's where I would get books from the library, from the school library. They were the dragsters, and then they had the ones that would have the Myers Manx and the sand rails. And I'm like, and then when my dad got one, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a living dream. Wow.
Third grade, longest 4 years of my life. So, last week we had trivia question. We had a great trivia question last week. Shane, of course, knew the answer to the previous trivia question of what was the game in the Gen 2 software. Turned out to be Pong. There was some little magic secret ninja thing you had to do to get in there, too. But Shane, of course, knew what that was. But the question we asked last week was, what tailgate accessory was available on the first and second generation of Honda CRVs? This was one of those deals where, everybody wanted one, and it was way cool to have, and Shane knows, of course.
Because I had one.
You had one, and you've probably had to fix one.
And I took my folding table out of the back of one.
You did. Well, as it turns out, the thing was a picnic table. It was a folding picnic table.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
The spare tire cover.
Yeah.
The table.
Yeah, the whole thing, it came with the flip-out was the standard one. For the first generation, there was also an optional shower kit for the back as well. You could get a shower, like you really needed a shower. But they had those. Connor McLeod called, and actually didn't call. He sent me a Facebook message. So Connor gets his picture taken with the can of barn find dust.
Connor McLeod
of the Clan McLeod. I gave him a crap about that, but he said it's no relation. Spelled differently.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Connor. This week's question, Shane's passing around pictures on his phone. What have you got there?
It's his daughter and him working
on the... Oh, you and Tammy working on
the
dune buggy.
Yeah.
How cool is that? So this week's question is a good one, and this is kind of a sad question.
Yes.
For years, there was an accessory that you had to have in every car. Dealers put them on cars. You could have them retrofitted. There was a whole company that did nothing but put these things in cars, but they became standard at some point, and then the industry died, and the last car that offered this accessory finally came across the dealership floor. You know what it is?
Don't be saying anything, Shane.
No. It's okay to know what the accessory is. The accessory was the cassette deck.
Well, no, you just gave it away.
No, I didn't. What I want to know is, what was the last car offered that had a cassette deck as standard equipment?
Yes. You know,
if you know, get with us on Facebook. You can send us to contact us at horsepowercromandrust.com. You too could get your picture taken with the hard-packed, chrome-plated, brass riveted bucket of horsepower chrome and rust.
You're playing it up too nice.
It is heavier than it looks.
It is heavier than it looks, and it's cooler than it looks, because if you sprinkle that dust, I'm telling you, your car is worth triple. That's going to do it for us. That music means we are out of here. Thanks to Bruce Myers for telling us all about the Myers Manx. Over a million listeners joined us as we Googled tonight. Shane Osborne's here, Steve Johann too. I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, and your face right up next to the windshield, because next week we do this again in spite of threats to not do it. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you later.